The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
2025 beginning in tragedy down south, where a packed canal in Bourbon Street in New Orleans was a target of an intentional mass attack.
10 people were killed in what's being described as a mass casualty incident.
With 300 officers around, and they were killed through an intentional act.
Witnesses told me on the scene that they had seen a truck plowing through a crowd of people on the iconic Bourbon Street.
This man was trying to run over as many people as he possibly could.
This all happened just after 3 a.m. this morning, Central Time.
What I also can tell you is that this man, this perpetrator, he fired on our officers. He was hell-bent on creating the carnage and the damage that he did.
The city of New Orleans was impacted by a terrorist attack. This is not a terrorist event.
The mayor coming out, and the first thing she said was that the city was a victim of a terror attack. And then the FBI agent in charge of this investigation firmly saying that this is not a terror attack. So clearly some miscommunication there.
We saw this just most recently in Germany, where someone used a vehicle to go into a crowd and kill many people.
You know, New Orleans is all about having a great party, and people were all just celebrating the new year when this tragedy happened.
We have not had this kind of attack recently in America.
Oh my God.
I'm sure with the Sugar Bowl there in New Orleans tonight that they're definitely concerned about, and I'm sure it's going to be all hands on deck there in New Orleans tonight.
I will say that we want our community and our visitors to continue enjoying. There's so much to enjoy about New Orleans, and we are going to make sure that our routes in the Superdome are safe today for the game. And yet we had this tragic event, and we're sorry again to everyone in our community, but we do want you to go about the day, as we say, just stay away from Bourbon.
Just stay away from Bourbon Street. But other than that, I mean, just keep on partying. This guy rams into the crowd at, what was it, 3? Richard had it in his brief this morning. 3:15 a.m. 3:15 in the morning. And there's people all over the place partying hard. I mean, there's so many layers to this story. How about Fox News saying that the guy, the killer, the murderer, the terrorist, he just came across the southern border a couple days ago. That's right. Joe Obama just inviting in the world, including terrorists that want to kill Americans. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. A lot to get to on today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed the end of the year montage that took up the entire show yesterday. We got quite a few emails saying how much they enjoyed that. And then, of course, we have this very sobering, a very sobering start to the new calendar year, 2025. And what a year. We'll talk a little bit about the year that was. But what a terrible year this has been for the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And you heard the woman there, the FBI rep from Louisiana, saying it's not a terrorist attack, even after the mayor said it obviously was. What is wrong with the FBI? Remember when Chris Wray came out and said, yeah, it might have been shrapnel that caught President Trump's ear on July 13. He's the head of the FBI. And he comes out days later, and he's not even sure if it was a bullet. It's like, what does he do? Read Media Matters, and then that's it? Those are his talking points for the day? You're the FBI director. And here come, they can't tell you anything about Thomas Crooks. No. But they know within moments that what happened earlier this morning was definitely not a terrorist attack. He came across the border. There's all these clips on social media of this ISIS-looking flag that he had in the back of his truck. His truck was full of explosives as well. But the FBI, that's there to protect you, they're woke. They have gone woke. That's what it amounts to. As I say, there's so many layers to this story. How about being in bed, for one, at 3:15 in the morning? That would solve quite a lot of crime, not just in New Orleans, all across the country. Instead, people partying away. My father wrote, this is from a year ago, speaking of the Trumpet magazine, Tomorrow's News Today. Again, we've got to give you the truth. What God says about what's coming. Richard Palmer, he mentioned this quote in his brief this morning. It says, here's a sad reality. We're going to see a lot more suffering if people don't turn to God in repentance. That's the truth of the Bible. And biblical prophecy warns how unimaginably vast the scale of the suffering is going to be. We've cautioned you. Don't get too excited about an incoming administration, as patriotic as it might be. Because the reality is, well, we saw it over the night in New Orleans. Joe Bama just opening the doors to anyone that wants more blood on Barack Obama's hands. More blood. How much murder? How much violence? How much suffering has he invited into the country? Here again is the contradiction between what was it? Clip 3, I think it is, where you've got the mayor saying one thing and then the FBI rep saying another. Clip 3.
First of all, we do know that the city of New Orleans was impacted by a terrorist attack. It's all still under investigation. You'll hear more after me.
Good morning. My name is Alethea Duncan. I'm the assistant special agent in charge for FBI New Orleans. As Chief Kirkpatrick said, we'll be taking over the investigative lead for this event. This is not a terrorist event.
Great. The FBI is taking over. And they preface it, taking over the investigation. She prefaces it by saying, this is not a terrorist event. Okay. So what gets swept under the rug this time around? How scandalous is this? Inviting these terrorists in. Donald Trump, his tweet this morning, when I said the criminals coming in are far worse than the criminals we have in our country. That statement was consistently refuted by Democrats and the fake news media. But it turned out to be true. He says the crime rate in our country is at a level that nobody has ever seen before. Our hearts are with all the innocent victims and their loved ones, including the brave officers of the New Orleans Police Department. And he goes on and talks about how that, you know, he's going to crack down on crime. It's all over the place. Illegal immigrants. What a time for the Republican Party to be screaming at each other over the H-1B visa, I think it is. I don't know enough about that process, but as I understand it, it's legitimate. Like, you do have to apply for a visa. And so Steve Bannon's against it. Elon Musk is for it, or somewhere in between. And here you've got murderers. You would think if there's one thing everyone can agree upon, it's close the border. Okay, we'll deal with the H-1B visa thing later. But what a fight. I mean, think of the timing. This is, again, it just, like Sam was saying earlier today, I mean, it really makes you just despise the whole political process, the fighting. I mean, you have to stand your ground, and you've got to give Steve Bannon some credit. The man was willing to go to jail, and actually did for 4 months, fighting against this radical Marxist regime. But now it's Elon Musk? Really? Elon Musk has his problems. So does Trump. They can't unite around anything. Here's Steve Bannon bashing Elon Musk, clip 8.
If you can work out the mathematical formulas and the engineering complexity of sending a colony of human beings to Mars and keep them alive, you can work through the math on this, and you know it's a bald-faced lie. And here's how I know you know it's a bald-faced lie, because you cratered as soon as we got up in your grill. Oh, okay, fine. Well, I won't fight to the death. I'm not going to fight to the death in short kind of new types of warfare. Why don't we reform? We need reform. Are you going to some BS answer? And you think we're going to buy that? Where did you come from, dude? Here's what you need to do. You need to study modern political history of the fights we've been through for 12 or 14 years to get to this spot. So don't think you're going to come back and, oh, you know what? Well, what we need to do is increase it here and cut that cost there. Screw you, you clown. And then you got to suppress us. Oh, they're, I don't know, blacklisting you, whatever they do. I don't care what they do on Twitter. I could care less. We're banned on every platform in the world, and this show is one of the most powerful in the world. Why is that? Because the content of the show resonates with the most powerful audience in the world, working men and women that happen to be citizens of this great republic. I've said many times that Elon came and Elon's money helped organize the grassroots effort. In his engineering mind, he saw what the problem was as we saw it, and he supported it. And for that, he gets a place at the table. There's no doubt. You should. It's $250 million in June, not an entire cycle, in 5 months. But that dinner with Sachs and that check from Elon came at Biden's, you know, when Biden, you know, in the debate or right before the debate, and Biden, you know, they kind of saw the numbers of where this thing was heading. They're recent converts. We love converts. But the converts sit in the back and study for years and years and years to make sure you understand the faith and you understand the nuances of the faith and understand how you can internalize the faith. Don't come up and go to the pulpit in your first week here and start lecturing people about the way things are going to be. If you're going to do that, we're going to get and we're going to rip your face off. Because you can't beat us. We're not beatable. This army of the awakened is not beatable because we're relentless and we will never surrender and we will never slow down.
Isn't politics wonderful? Again, we've made a strong point about courage, and there's plenty of weak rhino Republicans that have no backbone at all. He's got a backbone. But the timing of this fight to go at. Meanwhile, you've got, well, Joe Obama's letting terrorists through the southern border and they're murdering people. This is a tweet just a moment ago. The truck used by the driver in the terror attack in New Orleans came across the border through Eagle Pass, Texas, just 2 days ago. Fox News reports that the truck used in the attack was tracked crossing through the border just days ago. The truck used in the attack had a Texas license plate and that it was tracked crossing the southern border into the U.S. at Eagle Pass, Texas, 2 days prior to the attack. They're inviting in terrorists. Donald Trump, you know, he can't get in soon enough. He sees what's happening. The whole world sees what's happening. How many soft targets are there in the United States? How many terrorists are already dwelling in our midst? 10 people, some have said 12 people murdered, dozens injured. And yet, like Richard pointed out last week with respect to the recent attack in Germany, I mean, these things happen so often, they're so frequent, that they're a little bit of news for, what, a few hours in the news cycle? And then it's time to move on to something else. And then for their part, you've got the FBI swooping in, saying it's definitely not terrorism, nothing to see here. This is perfectly normal. Just carry on. Keep calm and carry on. What has happened to these government institutions that used to be champions for the little guy, for the ordinary citizens? Not so anymore. I mean, it's all woke. Leaving all that aside, what, and you saw it yesterday in the montage, what a momentous year it was. 2024, the year that God broke. He broke the back of the Antiochus movement, this communist infiltration. We don't have the He Was Right brochure up here, but you can order a free copy of that and read all about what was prophesied to happen in our time. The communist infiltration. Herbert Armstrong spoke about this back in the 1940s and 50s. And then more recently, my father says, you know, it's going to get to the point where it's nearly over. Bitter affliction. But that God will intervene to save America temporarily. To save America by the hand of Jeroboam. I mean, these are all developments we've seen happen in the last year. The last calendar year, 2024. One of our news gatherers talking about a biography on Lord Nelson. It says here in this book, Nelson, Britannia's God of War. It's by Andrew Lambert. And he says at the start of the book, there are events and individuals in history so far outside the ordinary that a mere record of facts, however detailed, cannot convey their meaning. We do not understand them literally, but at a heightened spiritual level. It says their magic attracts the attention of every generation. They continue to shape our views, mold our actions. He's just basically saying, you know, every once in a while, there are truly momentous events. And we want to make sure that we wrap our minds around it, that we appreciate the significance of these earth-shaking developments. That's why you need the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's News Today, you know, we had an article back in 2017, Farewell Barack Obama. I mean, that's just as applicable today as it was back then. But that's tomorrow's news today. God intervened. I've got another article here about Obama being silenced. How many of those have we seen in the last couple months? I'll get to that when we come back. When we come back from the break, by the way, in the spirit of the end of the year montages, we've played a couple for you. But there's a great, I forget who put it out. It's by America 2100. Don't know anything about that outfit, but it's basically a summary of MSNBC's coverage of election night. It goes on for 7 or 8 minutes. I think you'll enjoy it. And then after that, we'll come back with a few more articles, including the one about silencing Barack Obama. It's in the Federalist, 2024's biggest loser, Barack Obama. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Prosperity, government, trade, technology, stability, freedom. The last two centuries have been the exception in human history. How did we get here? The 19th century was dominated by an empire that exported civility, order, standards, and opened the doors for global trade. It ended slavery and implemented a system of governance that protected people's rights. And then in the 20th century, a new power came to dominate. Remarkably, one that would continue in the same traditions as its predecessor. For 200 years, the United States and Britain dominated the world stage. How did these two nations rise to prominence so suddenly? And why are their legacies so relentlessly attacked today? The astonishing truth is that your Bible prophesied the rise of Britain and the United States. It also prophesied their fall. The biblical identity of these two nations is the vital key that unlocks Bible prophecy. This lost master key to prophecy is revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's most requested book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You must understand the biblical identities of these two nations to comprehend where we are in Bible prophecy today. To learn more about this vital truth, request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
All the anticipation, all the excitement, all the anxiety, all the doom scrolling, all the manic refreshing of polling averages. It has all been leading to this hour. And we know you have every choice in the world for where to spend tonight. So we're really grateful that you're spending it with us. And we hope you'll be with us through the duration.
How's everybody doing? First time voting?
Yes.
How you feeling?
Good.
Are you guys doing okay too?
Yes, we're doing great. Kamala la la.
I was going to ask who you're going to vote for, but I didn't need to.
Kamala la la.
Time voting. As you know, this is where the Harris campaign wants to drive up the numbers to sort of counteract that T in the middle of Pennsylvania counteract the rural votes that the Trump campaign is expected to get.
And so what you've seen in the last couple of weeks, if this is an audition for managing a complex organization like the United States, Kamala Harris has passed the audition flawlessly. This has been, in many ways, a perfect campaign. And what the campaign is talking about now is the granular get-out-the-vote effort that you just don't see on the other side. On the other side, you're seeing Charlie Kirk going on X Twitter this morning and begging people to vote.
The last week has been a very good close for Kamala Harris, not a good close for Donald Trump. He hasn't been able to fill the rallies. He's addled. He has racist comedians opening up. Whatever. It's been a trashy week for Donald Trump. It's been a very strong week for Kamala Harris.
ASU, the campus that we're on right now, ASU students, the population is about 74,000. So a lot of people voting here. When it comes to a lot of the young women that we've been talking to, reproductive rights is huge. It's a big, big driver. It's a lot of the conversation that we're hearing.
We've got about 10 now completed of those rural, heavily Trump counties. We're talking about places where he's going to get 70, 75, 80% of the vote. In all 10 that have now been completed, Trump's vote share relative to 2020 has gone up.
I'm just going to give a couple of, like, everybody take a breath warnings here. We don't know what's going to happen in Georgia. It's like a baby blue state, I'm going to say, in that it has not been blue for a long time. It is a hard state for Georgia. The Harris team.
One of the things that was so striking about the public polling and the public data going into this election was that the public polling said this is the closest race that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, that was the consensus view.
Hi.
And there was a real question about, well, maybe the public polling's wrong, and maybe it's going to miss a few points in one direction or another. We don't know at this point. It's very early in the evening. But I would say at 8:50, like, it's a very, very close race.
I'd say that if you are just joining us right this second at 8:52:06, and I had to summarize what's going on, no surprises.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much that's what's happened thus far. In Georgia, it's too close to call. In Pennsylvania, it's too close to call. In Wisconsin, it's too close to call. In Michigan, sing it with me now. It's too close to call.
Let's be blunt. I think when you watch what Donald Trump did in 2020, what Democrats were fantasizing about was a landslide victory. And so some of what was wanted and desired was a sweep that really wasn't on the table. We live in an evenly divided country, and it creates anxiety, but it also requires patience.
It is fairly shocking. And yes. I don't think it's something that should make us super proud. You just think about just the last 2 weeks and the things that Donald Trump has said. If all of that gets you half of the votes,
48-49%,
what does it tell you? I mean, we need to really take a step back and think about, what does that say about us?
I mean, blue wall, baby. It was always going to be a blue wall night. Some of the fantasies, right, of a landslide victory that would erase any doubt, that would eradicate, you know, the threat. I think it's going to be a late night. The polls have accurately captured this dead heat.
Ari, since you were last with us, I've got nothing to report.
Well, the crowd here is still large, is still loud, but a little bit more subdued. And the word that I keep hearing is the idea that people here are nauseously optimistic, not just cautiously optimistic, but nauseously optimistic. The real focus now is on that blue wall in the Midwest. They knew that this was going to be a long night and that it was going to be a real nail biter. And it appears that that is exactly what we're looking at right now.
We've been saying for weeks, says O'Malley Dillon, quote, that this race might not be called tonight. Those of you who are around in 2020 know this well. What we do know is this race is not going to come into focus until the early morning hours.
Part of the objective of this email is to say to the people on the team, hang in there, guys. Like, it's not over. We're still getting votes in. We still need to keep talking to people, keep people in lines, tell your grandma it's going to be okay.
We now have an NBC News call in the first one, Joy. North Carolina called for Donald Trump.
Yep. And so it was, you know,
we now have all the vote in Luzerne County. Donald Trump is going to win this by a little bit more than 21 points. 4 years ago, it was 14. We also saw him make those gains in Lackawanna County right next door earlier tonight. Democrats wanted more Trump, more of a Trump drop-off here. They don't get it in Lebanon County tonight. In 2020, Joe Biden won here by essentially 27 points. Sits at about 24 and a half. In Chester County, more significant drop-off for Harris from Biden. Next door in Montgomery County, Harris is now running a point behind where Joe Biden finished in this county. Biden won this by 4.5 points in 2020. Trump has now taken the lead in Bucks County.
NBC News now projects that in the battleground state of Georgia in the presidential race, Donald Trump has prevailed. The Republican Party will control the United States Senate. This is live from Howard University in Washington, D.C.
We still have votes to count. We still have states that have not been called yet. We will continue overnight to fight to make sure that every vote is counted. Thank you all.
A short and to the point statement from Cedric Richmond, the Harris campaign co-chair. You now see them turn as one to start to leave the grounds.
The evening was getting increasingly somber as people realized what this map is looking like. They turned off the TV set and just piped up the music because the room was starting to get increasingly somber.
You know, we always knew it was going to be down to the blue wall, and the blue wall is still uncalled at this point. But it sounds like the Harris campaign is sort of keeping things tight in terms of whether or not they're going to string people along into thinking this is going to happen.
What they went to that venue tonight hoping to see and witness was a historic election of Kamala Harris to the presidency.
Yeah.
Was the end of the Trump era as they knew it. And so we don't know the outcome yet, but that is not what they are receiving. And they are being told to go home and wait till tomorrow.
And nothing that was true yesterday about how flawlessly this campaign was run is not true now. I mean, this really was an historic, flawlessly run campaign. She had, Queen Latifah never endorses anyone. She came out and endorsed. You know, I mean, she had every prominent celebrity voice. She had the Swifties. She had the Beehive. Like, you could not have run a better campaign.
In Western Europe and in the UK and in the Middle East, people are waking up to this.
Oh, and they are.
I've gotten people from Western Europe who are extraordinarily alarmed and terrified.
May I reiterate, there are two of the seven swing states that have been called by NBC News right now, which is Georgia and North Carolina. None of the other five states have been called at this point. You can see this is the battleground states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, the so-called blue wall. None of those states called by NBC News. In the swing state of Pennsylvania, NBC News now projects that that presidential contest has been won by Donald Trump. It presents an insurmountable future here for Kamala Harris and for the Democratic ticket. Let's watch as Trump takes the stage in Palm Beach, Florida.
We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
Boy, it's going to be a real tough speech for her.
I'm old enough to have lived through quite a few significant years, calendar years, over the past few decades. But 2024, I mean, even Steve Bannon, I think this morning, was talking about how impactful, how intense this next year is going to be, 2025. I mean, we're living, it's like I said yesterday at the end of the show, where this is the time to act, to do something with God's knowledge, with what God has opened our minds to understand. We're living in the last days, momentous times indeed. And what, you look at these frauds. What was it one of them said? Speaking of Kamala, she ran a historic, flawless campaign. Nothing was wrong with it. It was perfect. How many times have we heard that from the regime media? It was just perfect. No lawlessness, no cheating, no problems, no mistakes. These people, the way they evaluate themselves, they give each other A pluses. There is not 1 ounce of humility after that. I love the music, by the way, underlying that montage you just saw there. It's put out by, America 2100. But you can see there's all these stories about Obama being silenced. I'll come to that in just a second. But there's quite a few others about these federal agencies running scared because they know Trump is now just weeks away. What is it? Less than 3 weeks. And he's inaugurated. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Justice Department lawyers who have angered President-elect Donald Trump and his allies are facing tough decisions about whether to stay in government and how to best protect themselves from threats of retribution after Inauguration Day. This is what people like Steve Bannon are calling for. We forgot to bleep one of his words there in that clip I played earlier. But it's been a busy week, so our bleepers sometimes make a little mistake here and there, but we do appreciate that feedback we got the other day on how that the show doesn't have the cursing and that sort of thing that you see so common today on podcasts and such. It says here, dozens of prosecutors and agents have worked on cases that potentially make them vulnerable, such as special counsel investigations of Trump, prosecutions of hundreds of his supporters. Yeah, they went after Trump and his supporters, and now they're a little bit worried. Well, they should be. Now they're a little bit concerned. What if they're held to the same standard? It says here, law firms say they have been, or there have been, or they've seen an unprecedented flood of resumes from DOJ lawyers looking for the exits. It says, while presidential transitions always upend the ranks of political appointees, now it's seeping into a lot of career people, says one guy. The number of people leaving or looking at opportunities outside the Justice Department or elsewhere in the government is way higher than it's ever been before. Just like cockroaches, when the lights are switched on and when they're in danger of being investigated, examined. They've carried out so much of their lawlessness in the dark, in the shadows. Listen to Scott Jennings over at CNN talking about the changeover that's coming. Clip 5.
I also think on the people who worked there that prosecuted Trump specifically, you know, with all due respect, you know, Donald Trump is the president-elect. He's going to be the president. Those people should not be in the federal government while he's the president. I mean, if you're the president of the United States, you should not have employees who have been actively trying to throw you in jail. I just, common sense to me, would they need to find something else to do until there's another administration.
It's common sense, right? They're shocked that Trump would come in and select his people. And as we've covered on this show, I mean, the difference, what a contrast between the ones he appointed in 2017 as a newbie, a new president coming out of the business world. Now he knows a thing or two about D.C., about the swamp. And he's appointing people who are loyal. And that's why they're running scared over at the DOJ and elsewhere. Here's Trump from earlier this week, clip 7.
A great year. I think we're going to do fantastically well as a country. We're going to bring it back. It has to be brought back. People are not respecting our country very much, and they're going to respect us a lot. I think a lot of progress has been made over the last 5 weeks. It's been pretty amazing when you look at what's happened. There's a whole light over the whole world, not just our country. There are a lot of very happy people.
Have you got any New Year's resolutions for 2025?
Well, I just want everybody to be happy, healthy, and well.
There you go. He's optimistic about the future. He talked there about the past few weeks, how productive it's been for him and his incoming administration. This was at Fox News earlier this week as well. Clip 6.
Alex started a report saying that Mar-a-Lago has become the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. But it's even more than that, because I remember just a few weeks ago when I was covering Mar-a-Lago as the reporter, it became apparent to me that Mar-a-Lago is now the center of the economic universe, too. That is why so many CEOs, from Zuckerberg to Bezos, everyone's coming to Mar-a-Lago. The prime minister from Canada, foreign ministers, everybody wants to be there because they know this is where the changes in the world, everything is going to be decided here. That's why the biggest and brightest, and why so many of the Silicon Valley billionaires that did not support Trump in the first term are saying, you know what, we better take another look. We better get on his side and get on his page. And I think you're going to see Mar-a-Lago continue to be more than just a, Southern White House or whatever title they give it. I think it's going to be a place he spends a lot of time during his next 4 years and where a lot of important decisions will be made and a lot of important people will go to meet him.
Well, yeah, you know, we say Mar-a-Lago is President Donald Trump has become the center of everything moving forward.
The Winter White House. Trump, the center of everything going forward. Again, Just think about the momentous nature of all these prophecies we are seeing fulfilled. This is the latest Trumpet magazine. Miracle victory. It was miraculous. God does have something to say about it. And again, you can get a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine if you're interested in tomorrow's news today. The Antiochus being silenced, being removed. How significant is that? Who could have ever imagined a world in which there would be article after article after article saying that we've had it with Barack Obama. We're done. We're finished with him. They used to swoon before him. They used to worship him. He could do no wrong. And now what? The Federalist, the biggest loser of 2024. That would be the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. It says here, as desperate, phony, and even dangerous of a campaign Democrats ran this year, and as embarrassing as the outcome was for all of them, nobody came out looking more pathetic than Barack Obama. It says, from 2024's vantage point, is there any way to look at his legacy but as a tragic blight on American history? Yeah, everyone sees it now. Everyone's writing about it now. Everyone's saying good riddance. It says in the final months of the campaign, Obama seemed to know the outcome of the election would say just as much about him as it would about Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Donald Trump. And like all realistic Democrats, he knew that the nominee he supported was on track to lose. It says here his behavior in those days was nothing short of appalling. Obama first stood by and said nothing when George Clooney, who I had no idea was Democrat royalty, announced in the New York Times that Biden should give up his reelection campaign, as if there was some obvious plan as to what the party would do in that event. It says Obama did nothing and said nothing as his former vice president was squeezed out. I mean, that's up for debate, I think. We don't know exactly what Obama was doing behind the scenes. Others have written that he probably signed off on that Clooney op-ed that triggered, you know, the Democrat Party's move to just throw Biden under the bus and to move on with Kamala. And you heard there in the montage, she ran a flawless campaign. I mean, it was perfect. There was never anybody more popular than Kamala Harris. That's what these talking heads told us, particularly around the convention. Yeah, it was perfect. They were swooning over her just like they swooned over the dear leader. Look at how dramatically things changed in just a matter of weeks, in just a couple months. What a momentous year, 2024. It says, and then he offered what should go down in Democrat history as the most uncomfortable, underwhelming endorsement a former president has ever offered a subsequent nominee. It took him 5 days, remember? They threw Joe Biden under the bus. And then they staged the phone call 5 days later between the Obamas and Kamala. It says here, it never got any better, and it climaxed in a shocking display of Obama belittling black men. Because he shared their race somewhat, Obama felt they should do as he said. You're coming up with all kinds of reasons and excuses, he told them, to their faces, with his arms crossed and brow furrowed. I mean, he was upset. He was lecturing. It says here, I've got a problem with that because part of it makes me think, and I'm speaking to men directly now, this is quoting Obama, the dear leader. part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president. You're misogynist, I guess. You hate women. This is what Obama said to his own people, the African community, the American African community. Lecturing them, and they didn't like it. I've played you the montages. They didn't like it at all. They're done with him. It says here, further on, just a couple more quotes. Generally speaking, Democrat men have never been accused of being too manly, but it remains a mystery as to who came up with the idea to browbeat them into voting for Kamala. If it was Obama's idea, man, has he lost his magic. And if it wasn't his idea, man, has he lost his magic. He's lost it. He's lost the magic. He doesn't have that touch anymore, politically speaking. It says America is done with Obama. Obama was 2024's biggest loser. That's significant. That's significant. I mean, we're living in times, the last days, significant times, momentous events are unfolding before our eyes. And as I say, God has a lot to say about these unfolding events. He certainly does, as I say. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, this is the January issue kicking off 2025. Miracle victory. You saw how MSNBC covered it that night. We obviously had a lot to say about it. The day following, from November 6 on to today, because we were telling you for 4 years that Donald Trump was prophesied to return to the White House, and that's happened, or it will, in less than 3 weeks. When we come back, we'll finish off today's show with some viewer feedback that we've received in recent weeks. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
Yet, when the hostages were taken in 1979, there was huge pressure on him to bomb Iran in order to get reelected. He felt that if he had done that, he could have gotten reelected amid all the frustration about these hostages. But he also said that if I had done that, he said privately, there probably would have been maybe 10,000 innocent Iranians killed, and the hostages would have been executed. So this was a profile in courage, and that he showed restraint that really could, in a lesser person, have led straight to re-election.
That's Beschloss. He's the one that's concerned he's not going to be able to write books on history anymore now that Trump is coming into office. There he is, Jimmy Carter. I mean, what a legacy. He was perfect. He was strong. He was a great president. It's what you would expect, obviously, from MSNBC. But the ease with which they revise history. Yeah, never mind that the hostages were in custody for what? Well over a year. Carter saved their lives, I guess. That's according to the resident historian, over at MSNBC. A few emails. If you'd like to email the show, by the way, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to get your feedback, maybe read it on the air. Sometimes we'll read some of the comments that are left at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily and you can leave comments there as well. This one here says, I thought there wouldn't be a live show on Christmas Day. I'm glad I checked at 7 p.m. our time. It says, today I've read about and seen so many people opening up about returning to religion. There's actually a story in the stack talking about that. I'm sure, again, getting behind the Jeroboam movement. It's even discussed in Amos 7. You'll see that as well in Europe. It says here, the clip at the beginning of the show, this is another one, writing, I don't understand how he can list off all the Christmas traditions as pagan, but yet still believe that Christ was born on December 25th. And that, you know, he's talking about that clip we played last week. The preacher who acknowledged all of these traditions are pagan. But that's okay because we've made it Christian. I mean, that's exactly the kind of thinking that Jesus condemned in the Gospels. He said, look, why won't you do what I say? You're more obsessed with your own carnal traditions. You won't believe. You won't follow my example. You reject the commandment of God. That's been man's history. That's been our track record. It says here, what a wonderful way to spend our morning by listening to the Trumpet Daily while the world is shut down on this day. That's another one, appreciative of the live programming that we've made available, even during this time when much of the world shuts down or is off partying, as we heard about at the top of the show. It says here, what a sobering TD. Thank you. We all lived through a horrible time when that disease was released. We witnessed an older man being, it's talking about COVID, an older man being arrested at Sprouts in Arizona for not putting a mask on. Just despicable. We're grateful that Bobby Kennedy wants to expose Big Pharma. We as a nation need to get back to Whole Foods. Thank you for getting the truth out to the world. We've got more, by the way. I think at one point we had something like 25 clips from Bobby Kennedy and others on health, on the problem with the food industry, Big Pharma, drugs, vaccines. We'll maybe spend more time on that as we go forward. This one here says, I just wanted to comment on Make America Healthy Again regarding how people notice that Canada and Europe ban toxic chemicals. It says, I ordered a box of Dutch chocolate milk from a Dutch expat online shop and noticed that they have vanilla Coke and cherry Coke made with suiker, Dutch for sugar. I think I might have read this one before, but it just talks about how that, you know, you can see it even in the foods that are, you know, not necessarily so healthy, but at least there are more, you know, real ingredients rather than just all the added oils and things of that nature. Another one here says, in 2020, the Trumpet was dead sure Donald Trump would win and have a second term. You've stood by your guns, or you've stood your guns for the past 4 years, and now victory. Like I say, well, it's on this cover of the Trumpet magazine. It was indeed a miracle victory. We could have easily made this headline a prophesied victory as well. If you haven't subscribed to The Trumpet, make sure you call our operators, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. The email address, if you'd like to email the show, email some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.